Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you, Pastor Walker, and the church family here. Thank you for allowing me to be here today on this beautiful Sunday. So many great things God has done and all the great things He is doing. I'm glad to hear about God is moving by His Spirit. I heard about the outreach you had last month, and boy, I kept hearing the overflow of all the baptisms, all the salvations. God is moving. That's what it's all about, advancing the kingdom of God. Can I get an amen? We'll go right into my message. The title, today's title, is Embrace Your Assignment. Let's say it. Embrace Your Assignment. Did you know God has given every one of us a divine assignment? And we must engage with that assignment. I'm going to be talking about that. Before we go into that, the text, Acts chapter 10, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Acts chapter 10, and before I get into the text, I want everybody to say hello to my lovely wife, Vicky, right here. She has been involved in quite a few things in our political arena, and we had a tremendous day on yesterday where she was able to hand off the baton to another leader. She has served in that capacity for 6 years, which is made history. First of all, she made history. She didn't know I was going to share this, but we're talking about, February being Black History Month. I just want to talk about, first of all, my wife Vicky here was the first Black chair leader at the GOP in Colorado Springs. The first. And the El Paso County is the fourth largest district in the nation. And she was the leader of that. The next history she made was she's the first chair to serve 3 terms, because it's every 2 years. And for my studies and reading, they say when you do something for 6 consecutive years, you become an expert. And I told her this morning, I said, you now the expert in government and political matters. And she has learned a lot. A lot of people wonder why she stayed in the game while we were involved, while we were engaged. And boy, many times we wanted to quit and give up. Many times she cried. Many times she just so much heartache and pain with it. But yesterday, there was so much joy. Sometimes we walk through things and let things stop us. I'm on and tell you, engage your assignment. And no matter how hard it may be, stay engaged. And the only way you can fulfill your divine assignment is you got to engage God in prayer. You have to engage God, because if you don't, you'll miss what God wants to do in your life and in others. It's about the kingdom of God. Amen? You know, I was looking at one of my favorite historians and people I like to talk about is George Washington Carver. Everyone say George Washington Carver. See, what I like about him, that man who was a man of God, he didn't have to rely on DEI, CRT, or whatever alphabet you want to use. He did not have to rely. He relied on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I know somebody not like that, but I'm telling you, growing up in the inner city as a young man, giving my life to Christ at 12, we ain't heard nothing about no DEI or CRT. We had to survive and make our way, just like our forefathers, Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks and George Washington Carver. Rosa Parks said enough is enough. She got on that bus. They told her she had to get up out of that seat. She said, I ain't getting up. I have a right to be here. I'm a human. I have every right to be in this seat. I paid my fares, and I should not be having to get up. She made a stand. And that's how sometimes God gives us a divine assignment. There's a divine assignment on Rosa Parks. There's a divine assignment on Martin Luther King. There's a divine assignment on many of us. No matter what culture or creed you come from, God has an assignment on your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Look what some of the things that George Washington Carver did. George Washington Carver was a black scientist and inventor, famous for his works with the peanut. He invented more than 300 products involving the crop, including dyes, plastics, and gasoline. How many know he invented gasoline? Nobody don't know that. But not the peanut butter. Born enslaved, Carver developed an interesting botany, eventually earned a master's degree from the Iowa State Agricultural College, now Iowa State University. He became a longtime teacher at Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, an advocate for farmers, internationally known, renowned botanist. He consulted for President Theodore Roosevelt, an Indian leader, Mohandas Gandhi. Carver died in 1943, around the age of 78, and became the first African-American to have a national monument created in his honor. See, when you engage God, he shows you things that you can do and what he wants you to do. And then now we're going to go into the text in Acts chapter 10. We're going to read some text here, and we're going to explain why we cannot allow stereotypes, mindsets, thought patterns to hinder us from our divine assignment. Because if you allow a stereotype, a mindset that blocks what God wants to do in your life, you hinder what God wants to do in your life, your purpose, your reason. Just think about it. That day when Rosa Parks got on that bus, if she would allow fear to keep her from staying in her rightfully seat, there wouldn't have been so many breakthroughs in the South. She made a stand, like many other civil rights leaders that made a stand who engaged God. Now let's read here. Chapter 10, it says, in Caesarea, there lived a Roman officer named Cornelius, who was the captain of the entire Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man. As everyone in his household, he gave generously to the poor, and he prayed regularly to God. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming to him. Cornelius, the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. Anybody ever seen an angel, boy? Woo. It'll startle you. What is it, sir? He asked the angel. And the angel replied, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying with Simon a tanner who lived near the seashore. As soon as the angel had gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants, a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants, and he told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa. The next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. It was about noon, and he was hungry. Now, I'm going to stop there. It says he was hungry, but while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. But he was hungry. Sometimes you ain't going to feel like praying. Sometimes you ain't going to feel like praising. Sometimes you ain't going to do what God tell you to do. But you need to engage God regardless of how you feel. Amen? How many times Why we missed moments with God because we didn't feel like it. They said he was very hungry. How many hungry right now? Hang in there. I'll be finished by 4 o'clock. All right. Somebody said, I won't be here to 4. No. Hallelujah. So just keep reading here. All right. Where should I stop with? I got so excited. Verse 11. Okay. All right. And he saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet was let down by the four corners. In the sheet was all sorts of animals, reptiles, alligators, birds, hawks. Then a voice said to him, get up, Peter, and kill and eat. Verse 14, do y'all think? Peter said, no, Lord. The Bible says he declared, no, Lord, no. Why? Because he had been trained through the Jewish culture all through his years. Don't eat pork. Don't eat stuff that's not kosher. He'd been trained, and God said to him, kill and eat. It messed up his mind. He was perplexed, like, Lord, what are you doing? How many ever been there when God told you to do something? I already never forget. I shared this last time with Mark. When God spoke to us to move here from North Carolina, people thought we were crazy. What are you doing? Have you ever been to Colorado before? Nope. Who you know out there? One person. Where you gonna live? We don't know. Where you gonna work? We don't know yet. People thought we were out of our mind. It didn't make sense to leave the comfort of being in a good home, a good church, family members all around, a good job, everything well to do. We were set for our future being right there at home. It didn't make sense. But God spoke, amen? Had to change some mindsets. Had to change some ways of thinking to get us to a place where he wanted. So you have to engage God to get a greater degree of understanding what he wants to do in your life. You have to engage God in prayer and pour your heart to God and say, God, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? Because obeying God can be sometimes very painful. But the dividends are out of this world when you obey God. We are so thankful for all the great things that took place in these 6 years of pain and suffering, heartache, tears. We're so thankful for the glory of God, a path and a foundation being laid for God to bring in righteous leaders who will obey God and pray and seek his face, who ain't in the position for power and money and prestige, but they in the position for serving, for service unto God and to the people. Amen? So Peter was really having an epiphany. He was like, oh, what is this all about? The Bible says here, Peter was very perplexed. What could the vision mean? Just then the men sent by Cornelius found Simon's house standing outside the gate. They asked the man, Simon, named Simon Peter, was staying there. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, see, the Holy Spirit, let me see, I like the book of Acts because it's a book of action. Acts is you only get some, when you are in the kingdom of God and doing things and working with the Holy Spirit, there is going to be some action. This Bible, if you engage the word of God, you're going to find a whole lot of action took place that parallels to with your own personal life and your work life and wherever you are. That's amazing about the Bible because he takes us from glory to glory. God said to him, three men have come looking for you. God said, get up. Get up and go downstairs. Get up. I'm saying to this body right here, get up and go. What God showed you to do, get up and go. Everyone say, get up and go. Get up and go. When I play football, the coach would say, get up and go. Get up, go. Get up and hit up in that hole. I was a running back. He said, I want you to hit it up in there. Hard as you can, as fast as you can. We got the Super Bowl happening today. Making history in several ways. One, those old Chiefs have a chance to get three Super Bowls. Another history moment is two quarterbacks who are black playing in the Super Bowl. They didn't need DEI. They are actually good at what they do. They are skilled. I got to give it to them. Mahomes is good. He can do a lot with that football. He can run. Hurts. If you watch him, he'll put a hurting on you. I'm hoping, just from my personal opinion, neither one's my team, but I'm hoping that the Eagles soar to victory today. I hope they soar to victory. I hope. After that game is over, y'all be wondering, oh, I know the preacher today said he was hoping they soar. Either two things gonna happen. I'm gonna be rejoicing or sad. I'm gonna be right or wrong. All right? But my hope is the Eagles will soar today and win the Super Bowl. I'm sorry for those Chief fans. Y'all done had your share. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. But get up and go. You have to get up and go. Is that great to close this out? I'm going to read some more of this text before we close this out and never get a moment of preaching old here. It says here, get up and go downstairs and go with them without hesitation. Don't worry, for I sent them. Peter went down and said, I'm the man you're looking for. I'm the man. Everyone say, I'm the man you're looking for. Men, say men. All the men stand up. All the men stand and say, I'm the man you're looking for. All right, sit down. All the women stand up. All the women stand up if you can. Say, I'm the woman you're looking for. You may be seated. If there's any young people in the room, I want you to stand up. Any young people in the stairs, stand up. I see some young people over there. I see some over there. Say, I'm the one you're looking for. There you go. There you go right there. I'm the one you're looking for. Listen, when you position yourself where God wants you to be, I can't tell you how many times my wife can witness it, where I was doing about getting up and going about God's business, and then a leader will have a moment and say, you the man. I'm like, what are you talking about? You the man for the assignment. I didn't want that assignment. You the man. I said, I used to be over a home for men who was dealing with life controlling problems. I was the youth pastor, and they asked me to oversee a men's home. Most of the men were older than me. And they said, he said, you the man. I was like, I don't want to be the man. But I did it. I engaged it. I learned a lot. And I had to engage God all the time, every day, because I didn't know what I was doing. And God would show me what to do. And then I'm running track and playing football in high school. All the veterans, see, God gave me a gift of speed and a gift of athletic ability. So I ran with the upperclassmen. Most of the time as a sophomore, then junior, all the upperclassmen. I was like, all right, then. But they all left. When I became a senior, the first day, Coach Woolworth, 70 runners, he said, Rex, you the man. I'm like, Everybody laughing. I mean, I said, ain't that funny? Because they don't think I was could lead. Not knowing. That year, with the grace of God, he gave me a bill to lead that track team to a conference championship, a sectional championship, a regional championship, and make it all the way to the state meet. I didn't know that was there, but the coach did. I didn't know I could run the 100, 200, 400 mile relay. I did not want to run the 400 meters. Nobody did on the team. I said, Coach, I don't want to run the 400. He said, you going to run it? I said, oh. I ran it at the University of North Carolina indoor track. I took off as fast as I could. That one lap, I was in the lead. The second lap, and I was in the lead. And that last half, something jumped on me. And I couldn't hardly move no more. And everybody passed me and almost fell off the track. I came in last place. I went to the coach and said, see, Coach, I can't run this. I'm terrible. You're going to keep running it. Not knowing a few years later that 400 meters was going to propel me all the way to college, get a football scholarship, track scholarship. I didn't know that 400 meter was going to allow me to have blistering speed of a 4.240. Because listening and engaging in your gifts and with God's assignment, it's all part of assignment. When he puts you on the platform, you give him the glory. I love it now. I got to give it to you. Mahomes, he says he's a Christian, and I've seen him give God the glory on the platform. I thank God, my Lord Jesus Christ. I've heard Hurt say, I give God the glory, my Lord Jesus Christ. I heard both of them say that. When you on that level, you know who gave you the ability. You know to give the glory to him, because he gives you the ability. He anoints you. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Back to the text here. So Peter invited the men to stay for the night. The next day he went with them, accompanied by some brothers from Joppa. They arrived in Caesarea the following day. Cornelius was waiting for them. He had to call together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered his home, Cornelius fell at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter pulled him up and said, stand up. I'm a human being just like you. We all are human beings. And we need to treat each other like human beings. And with respect and humility. All of us are human beings. Amen? Hallelujah. He said, I'm a human being. All right? So they talked together and went inside. And there were many others who were assembled. Peter told them, and Pastor Walker, I know you can expound on this way more than I can. He said, you know it's against our laws for the Jewish man to enter the Gentile home like this or soon associate with you. And we'll say, but God. And we'll say, but God. But God, he said, hallelujah, has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone impure or unclean. So I came without objections soon as I sent for you. Now tell me, why have you sent for me? And Cornelius replied, 4 days ago, I was praying in my house about the same time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Suddenly a man dazzling clothes was standing in front of me. He told me, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God. Now send messengers to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the seashore. So I sent for you at once. And it's good. It was good for you to come. Now we're all here waiting before God to hear the message the Lord has given you. Then Peter replied, I see clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear. And he do what's right. This is the message of the good news of the people of Israel, that there is a peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout the Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began preaching his message of baptism, and now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with power. Then Jesus went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. For the sake of time, y'all take time to read that, finish that text. But I'm telling you, we have to, first of all, we have to engage in prayer. We have to. I can't tell you how many times, moments in life, when me and my wife was in the middle of all these attacks, I had to engage God. I said, God, I'm getting out of Colorado. God, we're getting out of politics. These people are crazy, Lord. Stay the course, the Lord said. I am so thankful that we didn't go halfway, but we went all the way. Hallelujah. Pikes Peak is 14,000 feet high. Halfway up the mountain is average. They call it average. Halfway. But when you go all the way to the summit, you are above average. God don't want to stop at average. You have to craft. You have to work hard. You have to develop. You have to have a teachable spirit. You have to want to learn and grow. You have to research. You have to read. Engage. I knew if I didn't engage that 400 meters, I was going to be miserable for the rest of my life. I had to engage running. We have some marching orders from God. And he says in Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Be not afraid nor dismayed, for I am with you wherever I send you. I'm with you. God is with you when he realizes it. My wife many times wonder, where was God? Heartbreaking moments, backstabbing moments, betrayal. God right there with her all the way. We have to be brave and bold for God, no matter. Some of y'all may be wondering, I'm always, anything that relate to young people, I love serving. Education, ministry, camps, sports, whatever. But last year, we came under so many attacks from people because of our involvement in the political arena that I said, hey, I talked to my board. I said, listen, y'all ain't, I got to go get a part. I got to go back to work. Because there, I ran for Senate. So many friends of mine I've known for years, they didn't like that I was talking about issues of life publicly, talking about marriage between a male and a female. They were mad that I was preaching and talking about these issues. And I lost down to 50% of our partners. And I said, oh man, the price to pay. For obeying. But we got to continue to be bold. We got to continue to be strong and be brave and courageous for God. He said, be courageous. And we have to be real with one another. No more facades. Take off the mask. Be real. God knows what's going on. Got to be real. Not a fake. God wants you to be real in who he made you to be. We also got to align with God's agenda. So many people have their own agenda, but we got to align with his agenda, not our agenda. If you want to happiness and fulfillment, enjoy in your life, aligning with God's agenda brings so much fulfillment. He has blown our minds all the great and mighty things he's done by aligning with his agenda. Me and my wife said years ago, Lord, we want to be right in the middle of what you're doing in the earth. And right now he has in the middle of ministry and politics. And we've seen some amazing things happen. The advancement of the kingdom. You will be amazed on yesterday how many leaders stepped forth. They were believers who loved God yesterday. Give God the glory. That's right. And guess what? when you're on your journey, on your assignment, you have to call God often. Did you know God has a phone number? It's called 333, Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. Call unto God. He'll show you great. See, somebody say, well, I don't really want to know what God wants me to do because, boy, it's too great. It's too fearful. Man, I'm telling you, it takes courage. You know, was it a little scary? Was it a little challenging when we stepped over the water to get into politics? Was it challenging when God said, move from North Carolina to Colorado, and we only had $400? Was it wondering that we get halfway, we in Missouri, and the car acts up and starts shaking and smoking? And I'm looking at my wife and I'm looking at my young kids in the back. What have I done? But God said, keep going. Keep going. We had enough money for one way, but God bless with his way. Amen. I want to encourage you to continue to engage God, excel in God. I would like to ask each person as we close out, if you know that God has given you a specific assignment, a clear assignment, I want to ask you to come forth. If you don't know your assignment, I'm going to ask you to come forth. I just want to say a prayer for all of us that we obey God's assignment. If you know God has given you an assignment and you have had trouble fulfilling that assignment, and if you want to know God's assignment, we just want to believe God. The Holy Spirit apparently, clearly is here during the worship. I tell you, if you can play that last song, that song, oh man, we worship Alpha and Omega. I just want to say a prayer. Now, Pastor Walker, you want to come up with me here, if you don't mind. I just want to really encourage and just, we have to in this day and time, for the sake of Zane and Zeke, what's the other Zeke? Zion, and those young people in here, we have to engage God for future generations. We have to. That's why I got involved. That's what motivated me to get involved in politics, because I saw what they're doing to our children. I saw what is happening in our cities. And this thing is being made law to hurt our children. I was in a camp with over 120 campers in Florida, Palm Harbor, Florida. All these kids in the stands. I'm looking at them. They were obedient. They were hustling. They were doing everything we told them to do. And I'm like, who's going to fight for them? Who's going to stand up for the future? I said, Lord, I'll do it. I ain't want to run for no politics. My wife, come on up, Vicky. She can tell you, come on. She can tell you. I hated politics. I hated it with a passion. But God said, get involved. When you get involved with God, say, do. He blows your mind. I just want to share just a little testimony about what God has done. Then we're going to close the prayer.
Well, I was just speaking to a gentleman down here. He knows a little bit about my story. I'm not going to tell you for one moment that what God calls you to is going to be easy. It's not. It's not going to be easy. There are going to be days you're going to go, God, why me? And you know what God said to me one day? He said, why not you? I said, okay. So where do we go from here? Just stay the course. God spoke to me about Nehemiah when I was in one of the darkest times. in this political jungle. He spoke to me, Nehemiah, and how Nehemiah stayed on the wall. I had people whispering in my ear, oh, you should do this, you should do go there, you should do this. And God said, you stay on the wall. You stay on the wall that I have you on. And you continue building no matter the naysayers, no matter the ones who come to you and say, oh, let's go have coffee and discuss this. No matter what people say around you, you engage the Lord and find out what He is saying about your situation. You're going to have some tears. You're going to have some joy. You're going to have some distress. But God is with you. And don't ever, ever, ever forget that He is with you in the midst of all of it. He's always there. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. When my husband was just like, you know what? I'm getting tired of my wife being attacked. We getting out of here. And God spoke to him and said, stay the course. Let God show you what He wants you to do. Write it down. I mean, that's what Habakkuk says, right? He said, write it down. Write the vision down. Make it plain. I've done that. I've seen God move in situations that were impossible. I've seen God give me wisdom in situations that were impossible. Can I give one quick story? Okay, so I was in this situation. I had run for my second term. I won by 7 votes. I always thought that if you win by 1 vote, you win, right? Well, some people didn't think so. I didn't win by enough. And so they tried to get me removed. So I had to go before the state party and testify to this. And they had brought up these different names of people who said that they weren't able to vote. That's like, I wouldn't deny anybody the right to vote. Too many people paid a price for that, right? So I said, okay, Lord, I don't know what to do because I know these people are lying. I said, God, what do I do? I don't know what to do. Okay, this is how God speaks to me. He may speak to you differently. He said, you have MailChimp. I was like, okay. MailChimp is an email service. I said, yes. He said, go to MailChimp. And he started instructing me on things about MailChimp I didn't even know. About how it keeps track of when people open emails, what time they open, if they open, did they open the links that you put in it, that type of thing. I didn't know any of that stuff. But God directed me to go there, and every single thing they said that I did, I had proof I didn't. So I was able to present that. I was able to present that and came out in victory. So God will lead and guide you, but you have to engage. He will.
Let's pray. Thank you. Father, I just thank you so much for all. You know every single person here. You know every situation. You know each heart. You have fearfully and wonderfully made every one of us. You made every one of us with different fingerprints. We are custom made, special giftings. God, the assignments that you have placed on every single person is here. We pray that you will give greater clarity, greater wisdom, greater understanding of the call and the assignment. And God, we thank you for the courage and the strength to obey, to go forth, to get up and go. We thank you for it, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. If you agree with that, say amen. Father, we have agreement. You said with two or more, I gather your name. You are in the midst. We have agreement, Father. We agree with heaven for the assignments on these lives of these precious people, your soldiers, to touch this city of Denver, to touch this state, this region. We thank you. You're raising up leaders. Divine leaders in every field, in every assignment, God, they will be excelling and glorifying you in every arena, from law enforcement, legislator, doctors, lawyers, who will glorify you, businessmen, custodians, all over every field. Raising them up. Raise them up. And Father, I thank you. When you begin to move in position, I pray they'll share the testimonies with their pastor, with their leaders. They'll share the testimonies of this breakthrough moment in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much.